What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. It is Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. And as always, my friend, I am here with the news, the notes, the hot topics, and most importantly, at least to me, my hot takes that help make you the smartest fan in the room when we're talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts. And of course, as always, if that room is a sports book, we got your back with the fight stack. Full fight previews, odds breakdowns of every main card fight on every UFC fight card. There is none this week, but we will be back next week with the fight stack. And of course, we'll have our Friday special as well at the end of the week after the weigh-ins with the weights, the ramifications, where the lines have moved, the props, and all those things. But for now, it's Full Press MMA. I'm Grease. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Let's roll. And man, I really don't like to do this, especially as the lead story, but Bloody Elbow, you give me no choice. The unfunded Bloody Elbow, the one that was dropped by Vox Media, the one that has no access to the UFC for years now, and they have become sort of the outlaw in the media space. I'm just starting with the facts, not an attack on Bloody Elbow. They do a great job, but the article that they posted today by Trent Rinesmith says MMA doesn't have media. It has UFC disinformation distributors, and the headline underneath it, the sub, is, despite what Dana White and the MMA media want you to believe, the UFC didn't, quote, release Francis Ngannou, and the whole thing is just geared toward, hey, the media is a bunch of shills. We're saying what Dana wants us to say and all these things. First of all, my access has been there for years, and I can go anytime I want. I don't usually do it, especially since I left MMA Weekly, but I will say this. I'm objective, I'm fair, and I'm going to tell you how it really is, okay? So obviously, Dana White came out on Saturday after the UFC Vegas 73 card. Shout out Mackenzie Dern, great performance there. In the main event, and he talked at length about the PFL signing former UFC heavyweight champ Francis Ngannou. Francis is doing his job, keeping his name in the headlines, and for now, the PFL is benefiting. But like I've said, it's at least 10 steps below the UFC, at least. It might be 20,000 leagues under the sea. Old school reference, look it up. Anyway, Dana White talked about the PFL signing Francis Ngannou, and he said, the day that we released him, I knew exactly what was going to happen. And then, obviously, Trent says the problem with Dana's remark, it went unchecked by the media who were there, and that's true. And many other outlets that covered the press conference saying that, hey, it's not true. But here it is, Dana White's reaction to that, and then Francis had his reaction. But some of the sites that were guilty of not providing full context, they're saying MMA Mania, MMA Fighting, Bleacher Report, MMA Weekly fan-sided, and to some extent, even here in Bloody Elbow. So he mentions Bloody Elbow. It's fair. It's whatever he's saying. It's what he's writing in his column. It's his column, right? Meanwhile, MMA Junkie, he says, noted that Ngannou departed the UFC in January following the conclusion of his promotional agreement, which was up for debate the whole time. He sat out a year. It's going to be over 2 years since Francis Ngannou fought by the time he fights. Yeah, exactly. So you know Francis' response, and he didn't take too kindly to what Dana had to say. Well, Trent goes on to say the reality is that the UFC did not release Francis Ngannou. Ngannou's contract expired in December. As John Nash, also from Bloody Elbow, recently noted, quote, Ngannou was able to eventually fight out of his contract thanks in large part to the introduction of a termination date into UFC contracts back in 2017, the sunset clause. Apparently, in response to the ongoing antitrust lawsuit, even with his time off for injuries and an extension for the champions clause, Francis Ngannou's contract terminated 5 years after he signed it. Dana made the claim initially that the UFC had released Ngannou in mid-January, saying that contract negotiations fell apart, and the organization had to match any offers from other promotions. Quote, we're going to release him from his contract, give up our right to match. He can go wherever he wants, do whatever he wants. Over time, that give up our right to match has morphed into the day that we released him. Why it matters. This is what Trent has to say, not me. Reporting that the UFC released Francis Ngannou is incorrect. Reporting that the former champ fought out his deal with the promotion and that the fight organization waived its right to match any offers Ngannou received from other promotions is what happened in this case. This might seem like a small detail. It's not. Yes, it is, Trent. Yes, it is. Transcribing White's comments without context only further helps change the narrative and push the UFC's agenda on the subject. The agenda on the subject is that he's gone. People keep asking Dana about it. Stop asking him. He won't answer the questions anymore. It's not like he's walking out into the room and just opening the press conference with talking about it. And I'll tell you another thing. You're talking about I mean, you're really arguing over semantics here, right? So Francis's contract was up. The bottom line is the UFC had the right to match. The other bottom line, and the biggest one, is if they really wanted him, he would be there. They would have given him what he wanted. They would have met all the terms that he wanted. They would have done whatever they could to keep him. And they claim they did within reason. They chose to stop at a certain point, meaning eventually they just said, hey, let him go, which means the same thing as release him. Come on, Trent. You know what? Every day these things come up, and I know you're right. It's great that you did this, but at the same time, man, stop taking people to task when they're doing their jobs and they're making a living. To say something like this and to call out all the outlets that supposedly did this, I mean, come on. Is Bloody Elbow not a bastion of journalism? I'm being completely sarcastic, of course, because they'd be funded if they were. But when I look at this, I say one thing in response completely at the end, and this is my final thought on the subject. If they wanted Francis Ngannou, he would still be there. They would have done whatever they needed to do to re-sign him. At some point, they realized the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, Trent, just like the financiers at Vox Media did with Bloody Elbow. And that's a fact. You want to go factual? You want to attack all the outlets? There it is. You're not funded because Vox Media decided the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, just like the UFC decided Francis Ngannou, the juice was not worth the squeeze. Nice try, shit starter. Rolling right along with Full Press MMA on your Wednesday, May 24th, 2023, from the shores of New England, home sweet home. I am Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. And Khamzat Chimaev keeps giving me more stuff to talk about with you. I can't wait to see Khamzat back in the octagon. I can't wait to see how far he can take this thing. I'm still not convinced he can be a champion. I'm still not convinced he can smish everyone he says he can smish, but we will see. And now he has Israel Adesanya in the crosshairs. Yesterday it was Kamaru Usman, but Khamzat now says he thinks the UFC is protecting Israel Adesanya from him. He's 12-0, he's 6-0 in the UFC. He wants to get back in the octagon. He wants it to be against Usman at UFC 294, October 22nd in Abu Dhabi. So Boers, who's called out almost every top contender, 170 or 185, Israel Adesanya is no different. The champion has cleared out the majority of his division with defending his title against Robert Whittaker, Jared Cannonier, Marvin Vittori, and Chimaev thinks he's the most lucrative option out there for him, meaning that's the biggest money fight, saying, quote, on his YouTube channel, quote, for Israel, there's nobody there, only me. So if you spoke about money, if you ask the fans, they want to see me and Israel. I'm a bad matchup for him. Everyone knows he's going to lose the title. That's why they save that guy. And while Chimaev acknowledges that Izzy, 24-2, 13-2 is UFC, is one of the biggest stars and draws for the company, that's why he thinks the UFC won't risk matching them up together, saying, quote, you know they built him up. They don't want to lose him that fast. I finished that guy without punches, and that's why they're scared. Then the story's dead, you know? They don't want to kill that guy. Maybe the guy makes money for them, but I still make money as well, so I don't know what's going on. Who's he going to fight? There's nobody. He wins against all the strikers, and I'm a wrestler, a killer. I squeeze the heads of my opponents. I'm the biggest name without the belt. When you fight me, it's more money, more fans. When I fight, everyone is waiting for my fight. He talked about the Gilbert Burns fight, saying they weren't the main event, but everyone was waiting for that fight. Of course, Izzy has a fight coming up, or is expected to have a fight coming up September 10th in Sydney, Australia at UFC 293. An opponent, as of yet, has not been announced. And Chimaev, of course, hasn't competed since a first-round submission over Kevin Holland. Yeah, I know, Kevin Holland. At UFC 279 this past September. Win some more big fights, Khamzat. Win some more big fights. And Amanda Lemos is ready to win the biggest fight of her career. She's promising to, quote, set the octagon on fire and finish Zhang Wei Li at UFC 292, saying, quote, I want that belt for me. Amanda Lemos earning the shot at the UFC strawweight title. She went 7-1 in a 35-month span, just short of 3 years. Michelle Waterson Gomez and Marina Rodriguez, she got stoppages against them. Now she wants a definitive victory when she faces Zhang Wei Li at UFC 292 on August 19th in Beantown. Wei Li is very explosive, Lemos said. She likes to finish fights just like myself, so we'll set the octagon on fire. I'll get in there to win. We have a nice strategy, and I'm sure I'll leave the cage with the belt. And while she admits she was surprised, she got the fight after those months of speculation and a potential show in China headlined by Wei Li with Yan Xinan after she knocked out Jessica Andrade, but Lemos now out to make history. Quote, Wei Li is very dangerous, so I have to stay alert of all of her movements. Her being that explosive is a good thing. We're studying and training. It's going to be a super tough fight. We'll give our all in there. She wants her belt. I want that belt for me, so it definitely won't be left in the hands of the judges. And again, Lemos finishing 5 of her 7 victories since she joined the UFC in 2019, and she is just a beast. She goes on to say, I'm sharpening my tools in all areas. I feel I'm evolving in each training. I have a new jiu-jitsu coach, and he's badass. I'm learning new tricks. I can't wait to put him in practice. I can't tell you how it's going to end, but it won't go the distance. It's either a knockout or a submission. That's what I'm coming after on August 19th. Well, good luck against Zhang Weili, but that is going to be a hell of a fight. I'm really pumped to see that one. Moving it along on Full Press MMA on your Wednesday, May 24th hump day. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. And we know Kelvin Gastelum is going down to welterweight, and I've always felt like KG should be there. He was there a little bit early in his career, went up to middleweight, had great success, almost won a belt in a classic fight of the year in 2019 against Israel Adesanya. But he was always smaller. He was always shorter. Guys who were taller, real tall, like Chris Weidman, for example, giving him a real hard time. And he had a hard time making weight when he was younger. But KG is going to be a welterweight. He doesn't want to be a middleweight journeyman. He's abandoning 185, and he is heading back in to the welterweight division, saying, quote, this is a second chance. This is a renaissance in my career. This is a rebirth. Before, I was young, I was dumb, I was stupid, undisciplined. But now that I'm older, hopefully a little bit more mature and smarter, hopefully. Gastelum's 18-8 with 1 no contests, and they're reporting some of the outlets that he may end up regretting that decision after getting called out by undefeated welterweight sensation Shavkat Rakhmonov, the 28-year-old nomad, 17-0, and has finished all 17 of his opponents by knockout or submission, including Neil Magny and Jeff Neal, battle-tested veterans. And Rakhmonov just retweeting Gastelum's video on his official announcement, saying, should I be the one to welcome Kelvin back to 170? At Dana White, at Sean Shelby, KG has yet to respond. The 31-year-old former middleweight, coming off a wonky decision win over Chris Curtis, UFC 287, hasn't won back-to-back fights in over 5 years. We will see if they book this fight against Rakhmonov, and that's going to be a lot of fun, man. I really feel, when you think about it, that Kelvin Gastelum back at 170 is a great move for him, a real tough fight and a test for Rakhmonov. I say, hey, why not make that fight? Why not make it right now? Because that is the fight to make. And finally, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Frank Mir, the legendary former UFC heavyweight champion, born on May 24th, 1979. That's a song in 1979. Smashing Pumpkins, I think it is. I don't know. Anyway, happy 44th birthday to Frank Mir, the legend. That's all there is, fight fans. There is no more Full Press MMA on your Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. As always, it's been my pleasure to bring you the news, the notes, the hot topics, and the hot takes that you need to be the smartest fan in the room when we're talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts. And if that room's a sports book, we got you back, Jack, with the Fight Stack. Full fight previews, odds breakdowns, every main card fight, every UFC fight card, plus our Friday end of the week special after weigh-ins with the weights, the ramifications, the lines moving, and the props. For you, they get the best value when you're putting some action on the action. You get it right there with the Fight Stack, as well as the daily news right here on Full Press MMA. You get them wherever you're hearing me right now, wherever you can get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeart, Stitcher, Podbean, you name it. We're there with Full Press MMA and the Fight Stack. Thank you so much, fight fans. Without you, there is no me. Keep your game tight and your mind right, baby. I'm out.